Radio Prague News.
Backing is given for greater parliamentary supervision of counterintelligence and spy services. Inflation speeds up in August, and Karolina Pliskova is in the US Open final. Parliamentary backing was given Friday to moves to step up and broaden supervision of the state intelligence and counter-espionage services. A government bill aiming at that was backed in the lower house of Parliament. The bill will bring all the state services, including for the first time the Office for Foreign Relations and Information, under parliamentary supervision. It also aims to create an independent watchdog body. The Office for Foreign Relations and Information aims to collect foreign intelligence vital for Czech state and economic interests. The rate of Czech inflation speeded up in August to 0.6% year-on-year, compared with 0.5% in July. Higher prices for alcohol and tobacco were among the main factors fueling the rise. A slowdown in the drop in food prices, which have been a feature of recent months, and higher charges for utilities also contributed. The Czech National Bank has a long-term inflation target of 2%, which it has long struggled to look like achieving. Some analysts, however, see a chance that the inflation rate might rise to beyond 1% by the end of the year. Prague's municipal court on Friday announced the bankruptcy of engineering company Checkede Praha Diz, a significant player on domestic and international markets. Nobody in court opposed the proposal from creditors. Insolvency proceedings related to the company started already in August. The company has been involved in a long-running legal battle with Prague City Hall over completion of the Blanka Road tunnel in the capital. An arbitration court at the end of August ruled that Prague City Council did not have to pay 1.7 billion crowns sought by the engineering company in connection with the work. In ice hockey, new national coach Josef Jandach has got off to a losing start in a warm-up match for the World Cup of Hockey against Russia in St. Petersburg on Thursday night. After going ahead, the Czech team eventually ran out 3-4 losers. Tomáš Plekanec scored in the 57th minute to close the gap, but there was not enough time on the clock for the Czechs to tie. Jandač praised the performance of players up front, but said there was more work to do on the defence. The return match will be held in Prague on Saturday. And finally, Czech tennis player Karolina Plíšková has reached her first ever Grand Slam final after defeating world number one and top seed Serena Williams 6-2, 7-6 in the semi-final of the US Open. It's the first time in 23 years that a Czech has reached the finals of the women's competition. Jana Novotná last achieved that in 1998. 10th seed Plíšková has also ended the Americans' reign as world number one. The 24-year-old Czech will face German second seed Angelique Kerber in the final. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's programme, two former mayors of Prague were handed suspended prison sentences for their part in managing the city's controversial multi-purpose transport pass. The lower house of parliament has approved a controversial air pollution bill which would allow local authorities to check what households are burning in their stoves. And later on in the programme, we speak to Czech-American filmmaker Steve Lichtag about his unique documentary about Aldabra Island. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Two former mayors of Prague were handed suspended prison sentences and fines by the Prague Municipal Court on Thursday for their part in managing the city's controversial multi-purpose transport pass open card. The ruling, which will now be subject to appeals, is the latest chapter in a highly publicised case going back a decade. Dominik Jun has more.
Former Civic Democrat Mayor of Prague Bohuslav Svoboda received a 2.5-year suspended prison sentence for breach of the public trust, while his successor, former Topo 9 Mayor Tomáš Hudeček, was given a 2-year suspended sentence on Thursday. Three other city officials, including former councillors, were also found guilty by the Prague Municipal Court, with 10 others acquitted. At issue was the implementation of Prague's open card payment system for city transport, libraries and other services. Introduced back in 2006, the system soon attracted attention for massive cost overruns in the order of hundreds of millions of crowns, as well as allegedly disadvantageous contracts signed by the city with external firms. It was also discovered that revenues from the system were being siphoned off to an opaque network of private businesses, including to notorious billionaire political godfather Roman Janošek. Police began investigating OpenCard, which is now being phased out and was replaced by a new card called Litačka back in March, as far back as 2010. The affair has also been the subject of a parliamentary inquiry, as well as countless lawsuits flying between contractors and City Hall. The affair spans the reign of three Prague mayors, with the controversial card introduced during the era of Civic Democrat Mayor Pavel Bem, who was in office from 2002 to 2010. Mr. Bem was not subject to the just-concluded court case, but reacted to Thursday's verdict on Facebook by defending the system and arguing that most problems related to OpenCard's implementation were the result of mistakes by his successors. Meanwhile, former mayors Svoboda and Hudecek rejected Thursday's verdict, announcing they intend to lodge appeals, the latter describing the prosecution as politically motivated.
I've said from the start that this was a made-to-order prosecution. It was ordered because I and my people ruffled some feathers when we started to clear up things pertaining to Prague's transit system and when we tried to serve Prague and the people of Prague and deliver some kind of prosperity.
According to Judge Alexander Sotolaj, who presided over the case, the men's actions cost the city 25 million crowns in damages. State prosecutor Tomáš Lejnár, meanwhile, expressed his satisfaction with the verdict. The case, which lasted for 57 days, centred on why the accused extended a contract with operator firm Hagues without a public tender. The case also focused on whether such an extension represented willful deception, resulting in potentially a much longer prison sentence, or mere poor judgment. The defence argued that such an action had to be taken in order to prevent the collapse of the entire open card system, but this argument was rejected by the judge. Hagues was ultimately stripped of its association with the system in 2011 when it was directly taken over by the city of Prague, by which time 400,000 users had signed up. Aside from suspended sentences, the Prague court ordered the five convicted in the case to pay fines of 40,000 crowns each. In total, the open card system is believed to have cost Prague as much as 1.74 billion crowns.
Dominic Yoon with that report. Now, the lower house of parliament has approved a controversial air pollution bill which would allow local authorities to check what households are burning in their stoves. The bill is to put off people burning waste such as PET bottles, which significantly contributes to air pollution in many Czech towns and villages. While environment activists are cheering, the centre-right opposition parties have denounced the move as an abuse of individual freedom. Daniela Lazarová has the details.
The burning of brown coal in many Czech homes significantly contributes to the blanket of smog hanging over many Czech towns and villages throughout the winter months, particularly in the eastern parts of the country. A few years back, the authorities had no leverage on individuals who burnt plastic waste in their wood or coal stoves. Today, a law is in place which would allow the local town hall to fine waste burning, but only if it can prove that this is indeed the case. This has proved near impossible and few have desisted from the practice. Now the lower house has approved an amendment which would allow inspectors to check up on what people burn by requesting admission to their home and taking ash samples from their stove. Those who refuse to let them in face a hefty fine of up to 50,000 crowns. The right-wing opposition parties, who failed to prevent the bill's approval, are outraged and say they will take the matter to the Constitutional Court. Civic Democrat leader Petr Fiala says a complaint is more than justified.
This bill violates the right to privacy, infringes on property rights, and allows inspectors to enter your home without a court order.
Vstupovali do domu a bytu bez rozhodnutí soudu.
Although the bill still needs to win approval in the Senate and be signed into law by the president, the opposition parties say that given the balance of power in the Senate, its approval in the upper chamber is a foregone conclusion. Environment Minister Richard Brabec, who hailed the bill's approval in the lower house as an important victory, says it was consulted with legal experts and he is convinced that the Constitutional Court will not uphold the complaint.
There are many rights and freedoms that fall in the category of individual freedom, and one of them is the right to a healthy environment. We have all seen it happen. Two or three families in the village burn waste and pollute the air for everyone else. And there are still thousands of people with old stoves which will burn anything. The burning of waste, together with car pollution and industrial pollution, is one of the three main sources of air pollution and the only one still unregulated.
The bill clearly stipulates the conditions under which inspectors can demand admission to a home: suspicion of repeated burning of waste, photo documentation, and a warning letter from the authorities must always precede this move. Minister Brabec says that he believes the actual inspections in homes will be few and far between, because the main impact of the law will be in its detrimental effect.
Daniela Lazarova with that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for another edition of The Arts with Jan Wellinger.
You've probably never heard of Aldabra, an atoll in the Indian Ocean some 1,000 kilometers away from the Seychelles, May. The last filmmaker to reportedly shoot there was Jacques Cousteau in the 1950s. Until now, Czech-American filmmaker Steve Lichtag is bringing a unique documentary about the island in 3D to Czech screens. For the inhabitants, the many animals on Aldabra every day is an adventure and sometimes a battle for survival. How would he describe the island for a first-time visitor? That's the question I put to the director.
It's quite difficult to describe it because Aldabra is such a special atoll, special place, special island with the fauna and flora. Everything in Aldabra is different. The incoming tides and such a rocky and hard reefs around, not just underwater, but also on the land. It's not this beautiful place which people would call piece of paradise. It is kind of hard, covered with lava rock and animals everywhere you look. It is amazing from every point of view.
So it's teeming with life, as they say. Of course, there are many different predators along that food chain. Could you describe this as kind of a delicate existence between all the different creatures there?
There's over 100,000 tortoises living there, and they're just everywhere you look. And there are flightless birds, which are big predators at the island. And there's also a lot of them and coconut crabs, which are almost like almost half meter, and they climb the palm trees. So it's kind of bizarre. It's in a way it's very bizarre island for me. Very strange creatures with somehow strange behavior, because they are not afraid of humans. They are not afraid of people. They're just everywhere. They just believe that that we are just part of their community.
When was the first time that you heard about Aldabra and began thinking that you could make this kind of picture there?
Well, first time I've heard of Aldabra was when the producer, Peter Keller, proposed to me to make a film about Aldabra. I had no idea what Aldabra is and where it is. I actually refused the offer to make a film about some island which I have never been at and island which I know nothing about. And then I had to really go back and try to find some informations about Aldabra. There has been few books published about this atoll. And the more I got into it, more I was somehow keen to see what really this island looks like and how to make a film. It was a big adventure for me. Now I can say it was about 5 years ago. That was the first time I've heard of Aldabra.
I imagine there must have been many limitations in place. It is a strict nature reserve, so I wonder, how did you work around that? It seems like it's the kind of project where many conditions had to be met before permission was given. Is that the case?
Aldabra was definitely, so far, the biggest adventure, because the fact that this is a very protected area, and it is actually absolutely protected area. And when I saw the contract which was signed between the producer and SIF, the Seychelles Island Foundation, which actually is in charge of protection of this unique atoll, everything was prohibited. We were prohibited to actually stay overnight at the island. We were prohibited to touch anything. We were prohibited to feed anything. I just looked at the contract and I told him, I said, look, there's no way I can make such a big picture. It's a big project, and I'm not interested of making a small documentary. I want to make a big 3D film, which is sort of a semi-feature film. And he just told me, don't worry. The scientists living at the island, they will assist and they will be fine and they will help us. And he was absolutely right, because without the scientists and without their assistance and help, there would be no film.
You already mentioned that there are so many different species of life. I imagine, though, that there were a few who kind of became central characters in the film, whose mini stories we follow. Who are some of the other characters, so to speak, that we follow? And is there any one that the audience in particular will end up rooting for, either on land or in water?
Well, I don't know. I will leave it up to the viewers. We will see what what characters will become favorite ones to the audience, and what characters audience will love and which ones they will hate eventually. I try to structure the film in the way that the viewers, the family audience, will somehow leave with the memories to all of the characters. There are bad guys and good guys. The bad guys means, of course, the sharks, and the bad guy is the flightless bird, and their bad guy is the moray eel. They all have names, they all have characters. And the good guys are, of course, the ones, the little sea turtles. Always the little guys are the cute ones. And the good guys are simply the little muddy crabs, funny bunch, which is fighting for everything. They have all these arguments. And I don't know. I'm actually curious myself, and I can't wait for for the cinema to reach the theaters.
When shooting this kind of documentary, big documentary, lots of footage, to what degree can you plan or wait really for the right shot or for drama to unfold before the lens?
You know, it's a wildlife 3D, real 3D picture. When we actually were in the United States and we were talking to Disney, they kind of looked at us and they said, well, how did you shoot it? How did you accomplish the shoot? Most of the people are puzzled by how it can be done, especially the people which know the complications, the technical complications with 3D setup. 3D is a very complicated process. As I said, it's adventure, and for me, it's something which I somehow always want to succeed with. And I had a general synopsis, general idea of the story, of what the story should look like. Basically, it would be a story of the inhabitants of the island, on the land and underwater. But of course, our actors, they will offer you the situations. We had to be prepared and we had to be preset for anything and everything. And the final story, of course, was being done in the editing room.
What will viewers, do you think, take away from this? This is a wondrous island. Will they take that away from the picture, you think?
I very much believed from very beginning that the 3D is the right concept for such a film, and I was very happy that we were able to somehow pull it off. The topic itself and the story itself, I hope that it will let people to somehow forget for, let's say, 1.5 hours this hectic life we live. And I hope that they will appreciate that they will be able to escape this hectic life we live, and then just to forget and just to go and see something which they definitely will have no chance to see themselves, and eventually to be able to see something which hopefully may stay for next generations, I hope. We all know what the nature and what our planet, what condition it's at, and it's not really something to celebrate. So hopefully these pictures is one of them which will somehow show people that actually our planet is still beautiful.
Czech-American filmmaker Steve Lichtak ending that edition of The Arts, which was first broadcast in November 2015. And that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.